Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Everybody's ego takes a shot on this show.
You gotta keep your chill with Jim, Matt, and Molly.
I am savage.
So you're not special.
Jim, if we want to play this game, we can play this game.
And I'm just like, oh my god, this guy's gonna swing on Jim. He's a complicated fellow.
People like me.
I don't think so.
This is the Jim, Matt, and Molly Takeover, presented by Coors Light on ESPN Wisconsin and Wisconsin On Demand.
We're learning a lot about each other.
We got Homer, Matt Hamilton.
Yeah.
We have
pessimist Molly.
No. Realist.
And then contrarian.
Total.
Jim Rutledge here.
Jim's an onion. You got to peel back the layers to get to the good part.
Love, Goff, and Darnold are unique names. Williams is a very generic name.
Almost as generic as Brown. I totally understand.
Could it be possible you guys are the best show in ESPN Wisconsin, the whole state?
Yeah, obviously.
It's possible. Anything's possible.
You're the best.
I mean,
broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison, alongside gold medalist Matt Hamilton and downtown Molly Brown, here's Jim Rutledge.
It is Jim, Matt, and Molly. We are presented by Coors Light. If the mountains are blue, you know what to do.
And that's crush a Coors Light.
This is the Takeover edition of Wilde and Tausch. I am Jim Rutledge. You can see me on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream alongside Molly Brown and Matt Hamilton. And I'm going to tell you what, folks, today is the day. They definitely watch us on YouTube. Thanks to our good friends at Badger Volleyball, as ESPN Madison is your home for Badger Volleyball, obviously carried across our Good Karma stations, and proud to be the home of Badger Volleyball. The other day, we referenced that Wisconsin Athletics, if you really looked at it, is not a football school. It's not a basketball school. It is a women's athletic school. As the women's hockey team continues to the Frozen Four, they have three finalists for the Player of the Year Award for women's hockey, and obviously Badger Volleyball, consistent Elite Eight, Final Four, National Championship games, and championships appearances. So if we're judging this on championships, women's sports at University of Wisconsin, that's what Wisconsin is about. And Volleyball heard that. They hooked us up with some gear. So every single commercial break here on the Jim, Matt, and Molly Takeover of Wilde and Tausch, we are going to be putting on new gear, courtesy of our friends from Badger Volleyball. So we're excited about that.
Thank you.
That's a three-hour show. That's a lot of commercial breaks.
Well, at some point, obviously, we ran out of clothes. We'll just leave the last one on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess Molly, Matt, we'll pick our favorite will be the last, because that's the one you're going to wear for the rest of the day.
Okay.
Okay.
Part-time lore shines behind the glass. What is going on, Ryan? Is this too early for you? Why are the lights off?
Oh, wow.
Your shirt says fear the deer, but it should really say fear
Ryan. And that's all I really see.
It's just fear the serial killer.
I see the fear the deer hoodie, like the actual logo on it, and that's it. Otherwise, it's just like a floating head back there. So
I'll be honest. I've never walked into this room with the lights off. Somebody's always had them turned on for me. I am usually the last person in here each day.
Yeah.
I should be the person turning them off each day probably, but I was so focused on making sure the show started right that I didn't even realize the lights were off.
So we are across ESPN.
There's a switch over by the door. You can actually hit it and turn it on.
I'm aware now. Okay. Thank you, Matt.
He needs Jesse Nelson to do it for him, so I don't know if he knows
just
how.
Give him a clapper.
Jesse Nelson's like eight Coors Lights deep in Dubuque right now. He can't do anything.
Is that why we're on the show today? What's he doing in Dubuque?
He goes there every year.
Yeah. Do a little gambling.
You guys sad you're not with them?
Day trip? I mean, no.
I kind of want to do it just once.
I'll be honest. If I'm going to do it, I'm just going to go to, like, Chicago or something and, like, go on the casinos down there.
Go to Pato. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why he makes a trip to Dubuque.
Sport book looks cool.
I think he likes the Mississippi River Museum.
I think what it is, it's a tradition. It's a tradition with him
great.
And
oh,
his
yeah.
friends. Yeah. The Mississippi River Museum.
I have a reason to have gone to the Mississippi
Fair.
River Museum.
Yeah. Wait, you weren't in Dubuque for the casinos with your kids?
I wish.
Oh.
And also, I'll be honest, Matt, I get Duluth, and my kids do as well, and Dubuque mixed up. They're very similar. They're both
Duluth
like,
and Dubuque?
Yeah, they're both like cutesy little towns that you like when you're there, you're like, this is a good time.
Two very different regions, but yes.
Yeah. But also, like, when you look, like, there's the big river right there, and then you have a little bit of a mountainous landscape. Like, have you been to Duluth?
Yes.
Yeah, but they're not that different, though.
They both have big bridges, right?
Yeah.
So, like, for kids who get confused, but also, like, we're just going there to do kids stuff. So, like, yeah. Dubuque, Duluth, whatever.
I mean, Duluth...
I know you
it
love
looks
Duluth,
like you're
your
on, a, on an ocean because you can't see the other side of the lake. It's crazy. It's huge.
But you're not on an ocean and you're further
you're
up north and it's
no,
freezing
you're
cold.
In so an like, inland sea, Jim.
Duluth is fine.
I'm a nut.
Duluth is fine. And Dubuque is
great.
Fine. Duluth and Dubuque, both fine.
Judgmental Jim.
Great. Great, Duluth. I'll let you say whatever you want about Dubuque. Haven't spent enough time there.
So you don't have an opinion. If you think you cannot give an opinion
I lived
on
in Duluth. Duluth is great.
Right, so you're biased. You yeah. can't give a proper opinion on Dubuque. I think six one half dozen the other. I've been to both multiple times. You lived in
and
one.
All I'm
and you're
saying is you're wrong
one.
About Duluth.
I'm saying you're wrong.
Classic. Oh my god, weird.
Yeah, but you're biased weird. Towards it. So like you're not a reliable narrator because you live there and you curl up there and you got friends up there.
You're right, Jim.
Thank you.
Oh man, you just made me come to my senses. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. It'll be a good day of
Mom
it.
Mom and Dad, yeah. Stop fighting.
Yeah, no,
it's
I can't
fine.
Wait for the rest of this.
It is Jim, Matt, and Molly. We got you for the next 3 hours. And we're going to talk some Badger hoops to get started here. But I do want to give a shout-out as if I'm going to be on in Wisconsin and across the state, shout-out to Cedarburg. They are playing in the state tournament. We're calling that game later today here on ESPN Madison, but I went to Cedarburg High School. So I know I got at least a couple friends coming over to watch. Either they're in the school district or they got kids playing. And so shout-out to the Bulldogs. I'll be honest, that's my knowledge. I don't know who coaches them anymore. I don't know a single player on the team. But... Hey, Cedarburg's playing over at the Kohl Center, so shout out to them.
What are they, D2, D1? What are they?
D2.
Okay, cool.
So
cool.
That wasn't actual, like, cool.
Yeah, why are you being
you
mean about
You should have cooled
Cedarburg?
Him before I when he was repeating. Saying that he's been to Duluth and Dubuque. That would have been the time to cool
well,
him.
That is
neither are cool. Both places suck, and, like, that's when you cool me.
Anyways.
844-770-3776 is how you get into the show. That's a Carbo's Talking text line. List is more. So how are your brackets?
Okay, I actually feel pretty good about myself. I filled out 2 brackets, mm-hmm. so I'm not one of those people that filled out 35 of them. I don't know if anybody does that anymore.
Honestly, if you fill out, and I don't want to have this conversation because it's the dumbest conversation ever to have. I don't care how many brackets you fill out, but if you're filling out 35, you're not really participating.
Yeah, you're just kind of picking a different team every single time, right? Okay, so I have 2 brackets. The one on the ESPN Tournament Challenge app, I have Michigan State winning. I only have 4 losses so far. That's pretty good. That's 75%.
I got you beat. I only got 2 losses.
Well, okay. Ha! I got to look at my other one to see how that one's going. But 75%, a C feels pretty good to me.
Matt, how
cool.
How you doing, Matt?
Not great. About the same as Molly.
That's not bad.
I have 2 brackets, one with a friend group and one here at ESPN Madison. And I basically hedged both of them. So, like, either one was going to do great and the other was going to do bad. Or vice versa, and that's what I thought. I thought, like, I'd have one really good owner at this point. I just hedged wrong both times, so, like, they are the exact same percentage. I just got, like, the ones that I, like, switched were the ones that ended up being wrong. Like, you know, you pick your favorites the way you like them. Some of the questionable games I switched up, and, yeah, sure enough, I've got the exact same score on both my brackets, so I'm pretty upset about it. I didn't think that was going to be possible.
The thing that sucks about... looking at my bracket, though, is like I had Louisville beating Creighton. I have Louisville beating Auburn in the next one. So it's like it just keeps going and going. Mm. And I'm like, all right, it's just going to continue
Those
the domino
the
effect. Yep.
Those are the daggers. Like if you get it wrong, at least you got to hope that you had them losing the next round.
So, Jim, two losses, though. Which ones did you get wrong?
I had Yale beating Texas A&M. And I forgot the other. Oh, I had VCU beating BYU. Now, I'm going to be full disclosure on this. One, I hate all bracketology. I think this has become the biggest scam out there. And I'm not saying there's nothing to it.
Judgmental Jim.
You all can, like, obviously you can spin numbers however you want. Like, on Tuesdays, teams with the letter B don't ever lose. Or on Thursdays, teams with the letter B never lose. Like, you can come up with whatever you want. And I'm not, it's all like pseudoscience. And we are inundated with pseudoscience and nobody can believe actual facts anymore because you can just spin things however you want. And it's bled into to bracketology. It's just like fantasy football talk and bracketologists. And it, here's my general take on all this stuff is you're not going to win. You're just not going to win it. It's not your job. It should not make or break you at all. Nobody remembers like 3 days after the tournament's done if someone won or lost it. Like, there's not real bragging rights. It's like in the moment you get them. So in general, what I normally do is like I might use like the ESPN bracket person and be like, all right, I'll just kind of just see what they pick and then I'll make some tweaks. Mm-hmm. And to Matt's point, every time I make a tweak, it's wrong, but at least I'm happier because I'm like, I'm going to root for my team to go far. Like when FAU got to the Final Four, I was annoyed because I had them losing like early. And I'm like, why did I do that? Like, that was stupid. Like, who cares about my bracket? I'd much rather, how much happier would I have been if I had money on FAU where I went to college and they got to the Final Four and I won some money? Or even if I didn't, they got that far. Like, that's so much better. Like, Badger fans who pick Wisconsin or Marquette fans that pick Marquette to just make a run, you're going to be happier if your team does. Like, if your team loses in the first round or you pick them to lose in the first round, but then you won $50, it's like, cool. I'd rather just take the ride with my team. So that's my general idea in it. So
maybe, for this bracket, but imagine taking them to go, and then they lose first round. You're like, well, now my team's out of the tournament, and I'm out, you know, whatever, 10 jelly beans.
That's a lose-lose.
That's right. It's nice to have them lose early. Then you're like, oh, well, at least they're moving on. I'm down 10
I'm
bucks.
I'm surprised to hear you say that. So my point is, with this one that I'm doing so well in, I literally clicked have the expert pick it, and I'm doing great. I saw.
And you didn't change any picks?
I didn't change a pick. Okay. I didn't touch it. I have the ESPN Madison ones, but I don't care about those. There's no money in it. So, like, this is, I got $50. My friends at Carbon World Health, I did this thing, this pool here. So, I got money in this one. So, like, I kind of want to win it. So, I don't care.
You want to win it on expert's pick.
But yes, what do I care?
Bleep my feelings. I bet you other people in that group did it, too.
It's winner take all. Bleep my feelings. Mm-hmm. I'll do these stupid free ones for, like, whatever. Like, fine, I'll pick those. What do I care? This one's real money.
Watch today just be a colossal downfall for Jim's
and then
bracket.
Then I could go, and those are my picks. Like, it's a win-win for me. But I do want to know, like, do you pick your favorites or do you pick to win?
It depends. I go with my heart. I have Wisconsin going to, I believe, the Elite Eight and then losing to Oregon. Would that be the Elite Eight or would that be the Sweet 16? I get confused looking at the bracket online. But I guess I kind of picked them with my heart, just knowing how they've performed the last couple brackets or last couple years. But I don't know. I think I just look at a game and I'm like, Iowa State here feels good. Oh, Wisconsin here feels good. Or whatever it may be. I don't know. I think I'm going to be right. And then it's like I have it in my heart. I'm going to get this 100% correct. And then I don't. Every single time.
So 844-770-3776. You can chime in. Carbo's talking text line. List is more. When picking your bracket, and I know we started it, but I just want to know, like, as you're going along, like, before the tournament even started, I hated my bracket already. Like, you get this anxiety about it. You're like, this thing is trash. I'm going to light it on fire. I'm not going to watch a single game because it's not going to matter. But I very quickly lose track of my bracket, nor do I care about it when upsets happen. And we'll get to upsets because I'm pro-upset for small schools and up to a point. Like, at some point, I don't necessarily need to see, like, an 11 seed in the Final Four. But depending on what happens with my team.
I get it, though.
Yeah. But in general, like, I usually try to walk a line between, like, picks. If it's, like, a 50-50 or, like, a 60-40, like, with the bracket analyzer, I'll be like, I want Michigan to win. I like Dusty Mays, the coach at Michigan. And Vlad Golden went to FAU. So, I'm like, I'm going to pick him in this one. Louisville versus Creighton. Now, again, I picked out Louisville to win because I was wrong. But my non-personal pick here, I'm crushing
it. Creighton.
But I was like Chucky Hepburn at Louisville.
Yep.
I'm gonna go Louisville there. Arkansas.
Oh, see, I was totally feeling the opposite. Oh, Chucky, you left the Badgers to go play at Louisville? Loser! Creighton wins.
That's a bad take.
That's not a bad take. I mean, I don't blame him.
The Badger players love him.
I don't blame him for going at all.
Do that for AJ Storm.
I get it. Well, AJ, yeah, basically, if you leave my team, you're out.
Well, Matt, you're
going to have a tough time
for
rooting for teams because
yeah.
I'll tell you what. I would imagine, I hate to say it, like Wisconsin very likely could lose a player again.
Oh.
I'm not counting on a player to come back ever.
Not anymore.
There's too much money on the table.
You can't anymore.
Not in basketball, and that's not a knock on Greg Gard.
But that'll be great. That's just going to help me zip through these brackets even easier. There's going to be more players on more teams. Like
double hate.
Hater?
Absolutely loathe.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to make the filling out the bracket a lot easier.
All right, so you can chime
in. Instead of trying to imagine a mascot
battle. 770-3776. Just give us your bracket theology, Matt. Powered a lot by hate. A lot of by emotion and a little bit by analytics.
It depends because those people, those bracketologists that you say are scam artists, like they're not taking my money. They're taking my viewership on YouTube.
They're clickbaiters.
They're a little clickbaity. So yeah. I'll watch some real snackable size ones, like any bracketology video over like 6 minutes out.
Dude, if you it's might more than
well,
a minute,
you
I'm
might
out.
As well.
I was
going
to say, like, no, I, no, how no, long can I watch a guy in a button
regions.
Down with a pen on my screen?
There's 64 teams. I need to understand a little bit about all of them. So I think if you can rattle through the 64 or the 32 games in 6.5 minutes, you get the benefit of the doubt. So I'll watch like 5 of them. And if there's like overlapping, like on the upsets, that's where I'll start to, okay, that's the upset I want to play. So like I'll go back and forth. A lot of it's off feel. And
take
the true 50-50 ones, I know it sounds crazy, the mascot battle is important. It's a big one.
Bulldogs versus Bulldogs. Who'd you pick yesterday for that one? Gonzaga versus
Butler. I picked the Bulldogs.
I can't lose if I pick the Bulldogs.
Exactly. No, I think I ended up going Georgia because I was leaning a little SEC heavy this year just because they had so many teams in the tournament. And I was like, I probably should have thought it like, hey, they've spent the entire second half of the season beating each other up because they're all good basketball teams. Instead, I was like, oh, iron sharpens iron. Let these guys cook. Like, all 14 are going to make it to the Sweet 16. So I might have been a little bullish on the SEC for that game, so I was wrong there.
Do you want to explain your iron sharpened iron take to our new audience on Wildy and Tausch? Jim, Matt, Molly takeover of Wildy and Tausch. We're across ESPN Wisconsin. I'm Jim Rutledge, Molly Brown, gold medalist Matt Hamilton with you. But every once in a while during the show, we're going to do our absolute best, and Ryan will help us, that we're going to make some references to things that are regular on our show. And we're on the show 4 to 6 in Madison every single day. And we like to have a lot of fun, and we're going to bicker, we're going to talk some sports, and we're going to goof around. But we are also not necessarily the greatest wordsmith of all time. And Matt,
I'm a nut,
has got his own phrases at times, and one of them was
steel sharpens steel.
I was going to say, how could you sell out like this for the 9 to noon crowd?
Yes.
You said iron sharpens iron.
So please explain.
Honestly, I thought we could just avoid this conversation. No. I just said iron sharpens iron the way you wanted me to, but instead it's
we're giving our show.
Steel does sharpen steel. I stand by that.
Take that for data.
I don't even think that I know this reference.
So
explain.
Matt.
Have you heard the phrase before? Like, iron sharpens iron?
Okay.
I said steel sharpens steel one time, and these guys were like, no! That is so wrong. That is could not be right. I have no idea what you're talking about. Like the reference was so far off the original, the real one, that these guys were both like,
no.
What?
No, that's not what happened. No.
Felt like it.
No. What happened was you clearly meant to say iron sharpens iron.
No,
you
said steel sharpens steel.
Yes, which we immediately
knew.
With
full confidence.
Oh, he forgot the saying and he just mixed it up.
Google it. Yeah.
Really?
It's real. It's a real saying. Both of them work.
Does it come up like after the fourth search? Is it on like page 2? Of Google?
You know, don't use Google.
Matt Hamilton
don't use
said.
Something else.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's when you Google it, it'll say Matt Hamilton.
Use Yahoo.
Exactly.
Use Yahoo search. It'll come up.
Is that how old are you?
Use Bing.
Is Yahoo search still a thing?
Is Bing still a thing? I feel like Bing gave my computer virus.
How old is Matt Hamilton?
Like LimeWire.
I'm 36 years old, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're actually that much older than me? I don't think I knew that.
Really?
This is utterly preposterous.
Yeah. Okay, I feel good now.
I'm way older
Ryan,
than you.
Ryan always makes me feel a little crummy about myself because, like I said, he's like 22 in my mind forever, and I'm 28, so now I feel a little bit better.
So we've gotten two texts into the Carlos Talking text on 844-770-3776. The first two, I don't understand what in God's name anyone is talking about in the first two.
Those were references to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning.
Got you.
Yeah.
Because they came in at 9 o'clock on our Talking text line. But then, the other part of it is, thanks to Josh and Heartland, don't get to hear Jim, Matt, and Molly very often. What a pleasant surprise.
Thank you.
Matt, actually, I'm a little surprised you're 36. I think I just have frozen you in the age of when I met you,
yeah,
which was like 33.
That's fair.
That's kind of how I am with Ryan, yeah.
How old are you?
28.
Oh, I see. You're old. I thought you were like 25.
See, exactly. I mean, that makes me feel fantastic.
You don't look a day over 25, Mom.
Thanks. My stepsons always say, oh, I thought you were only 21. I'm like, nope, that was about 7 years ago. I wish. Thank you, though, for the compliment.
When you were 12, when you're 10.
I turned 45 in a month, so I got y'all beat.
Are you having a midlife crisis yet? Pressure, pressure.
Every day, every day. This is Jim, Molly, the Takeover, Wilde and Tausch on ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
This is the Jim, Matt, and Molly Takeover of Wilde and Tausch. It is a Friday, and that means on Jim, Matt, and Molly, we do Fish Friday. In honor of the fact that I've never had a traditional fish fry in Wisconsin, I've never gone to like a supper club and had fried fish and sat down and ate amongst the masses eating fried fish. Never a family tradition of mine. And when I got older, like, why would I start? And then I moved to Florida, I moved back. It's just not in my wheelhouse. So I've never had one. But still love the band Fish. So on Fridays, we play bump back music from the band Fish for a little double entendre Fish Friday. He's Matt Hamilton. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Molly Brown. If you are watching on ESPN Madison YouTube stream, you can see Matt and I in our Badger volleyball hoodies and then Molly Brown in her Badger volleyball t-shirt. We're going to be changing our clothes for as long as we can. I think we got four or five pieces of gear from our friends at Badger Volleyball. So to thank them, we're going to be modeling it during each segment until we run out of clothes, and we'll just leave the last one that we have on. So basically the last one we're wearing will be our favorite, the one we're going to wear for today. You can get into the show, 844-770-3776. That's the Carbis Talking text line. And we did ask you about filling out your bracket, and you can still chime into that, like, how is your bracket doing? What's your methodology behind it? But the Badgers, they won yesterday. They beat Montana. It was fun because the Badgers won, but it wasn't like the greatest game to watch.
No, I mean, kept them at an arm's length.
They were very close for a lot longer than I wanted.
It was like 70%. The game was within striking distance, and then the Badgers pulled away.
By striking distance, you're like 9 points?
Under 10. I consider that striking distance. Yeah. And then at some point, obviously under 10 or over 10 with like 5 minutes to go, then you're really out of it. But with 3-point shot, they were striking, and then the Badgers finally pulled away. It was a fine performance. There's nothing really to nitpick on it. I don't take a lot from it, but what I would say is that Badger basketball, they're much taller than Montana. Like, they didn't face it. I feel like the tallest guy in Montana was 6'7". Then they also had this freshman who, this is a lie. Ryan, maybe I sent it to the talk to our private text chain, and I don't mean to make fun of this guy, but at the same time, there was a player on Montana when I saw him. I'm like, oh, he must be like one of the last COVID players. Like, he must have gotten 2 years out. He looked like he was Molly's age, like 28 years old, and a rough 28.
Savage.
And then when he came in, they're like, he's a freshman. And I was like, you need to glow up, my guy. Like, someone needs to step into your life, because he looked like, if you told me he was 42, I would have been like, all right, I buy it. So that was the tallest player on Montana, was my point, at 6'9", and he played a couple minutes. So Badgers played well. They did what they needed to do. Tanjay, I was a little concerned that his post moves were kind of, I mean, not his post moves, his drive moves were kind of figured out. Like, Montana had his rhythm. So when he'd drive, they either cut him off or drew a charge or blocked a shot. But he knocked down, he didn't have to do much. Blackwell played well. And yeah, the Badgers' bigs just bully balled, which is fine. Like, they just wore him out. Montana,
I'm sure that
is
was
small.
The strategy going into
hurt.
It, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. Montana's small. They got in foul trouble, and that was kind of it.
Yeah.
But I mean,
their like best player had like four fouls pretty early.
So I don't feel any different about the Badgers after that game as beforehand. I don't feel better. I definitely don't feel worse. I feel like, it's a matchup thing against BYU. And we'll get into that in a minute, but 844-770-3776. Carl was talking text line. How do you feel about the Badgers? Better or worse after their first game?
Personally, I feel, I would say, just slightly better. It's because the Badgers, they did what they had to do. They kept a team that they were better than at arm's length and then closed it out. Didn't let them come back, which was a issue for the Badgers in other games this year where you have a pretty good lead, Oregon, and then blow it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that was really the big thing for me was, like, get the lead and keep the lead. Like, I don't know what happened in the Oregon game, if they kind of, like, changed philosophy. Hey, we got a 10-point lead. Let's lock down on D and slow it down. Or I just felt like the Badgers didn't change their strategy at all. They just kept the foot on the gas and, like, let the process take care of itself. Even though the Grizzlies had to, like, alter what they were doing to try and get back in the game, the Badgers did not change anything. A little bit of bully ball, get it to the bigs, let them try and win in the post.
And I get your point. The big difference in that game was that Oregon had bigs. Montana does not.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I get the difference in the two, but I just, like, I'm not a big fan of changing philosophies. Like, even in curling, for me, like, our team will play a little bit aggressive, get a lead, and then we start playing more conservatively, and the other team kind of, like, claws their way back in.
Yep.
It's like, let's just keep our foot on the gas and try and, like, end these guys early, because and it seemed like the Badgers didn't change their philosophy, which is what I looked. That was the big standout thing for me.
It was like a slow and steady victory.
Mm-hmm,
like,
exactly.
Just kind of over time, war of attrition, just wear them out. Steel, Starp, and Shield. You wear it down. Steel, Starp, and Steel. You wear them down.
It might not be the same, but it's definitely real.
So Josh DiMaggio did chime in with a little bit of clarity on it. You know what? I'm gonna trust Josh on it because I feel like he's the type of guy that would know this kind of thing.
Because I as a cook,
you do a lot of sharpening?
I have chef knives.
He has knives.
When you are done so sharpening, you have to hone it. Honing is done on a steel.
Okay, but Matt, we're not, like, that's not what the origin of the phrase is.
I understand it. Like, but yes, when he says steel can't sharpen steel or doesn't, that's wrong.
All right, here's what Josh had to say. Steel does not sharpen steel the same way iron does not actually sharpen iron. Honing is not sharpening.
Honing is certainly sharpening. That makes your knife sharper. I assure you it does.
We can Google it.
It's not the real phrase.
I am not the person to ask.
The phrase is the idea that another person can help make you a better person because they push you. That is, like, where the proverb comes from. It is iron because steel wasn't invented when the proverb started. I get that. But you use a honing steel to sharpen your knife.
All right, How old do you think this phrase is?
It's from the Bible. It's very old, Ryan.
The definition
barely
of,
older okay. than I am.
Okay, fair.
The definition of hone is smooth and sharpen a blade.
Sharpen.
Yeah.
Smooth is the first word.
Smooth and sharpen.
Sharpen. That is the whole point.
Refine or perfect. So what you're doing is you are trying to, it's not.
I'm on Matt's side here, actually.
Sharpen.
I don't fully understand this conversation, but I'm on Matt's side.
Thank you, Molly. It's sharp. It's a.
But honing is, like, I get what he's saying, because you're not, like, creating the, like, if you're sharpening a blade, like, the original making of the blade.
Yeah.
That's sharpening. Honing is you are honing in. That's another way to use it, refine or perfect. So you are trying to bring it back to its original sharpness and smoothness. The original sharpening, if you were making a sword, that's not honing.
I guess. But here's
you're both right.
The only difference is when you sharpen a knife, you have to hone it at the end because there's a burr. That's like the whole polishing and really. So, like, yes, I get it. Like, you sharpen a knife. But then there's one more step, and it's called honing, whether it's on a leather strap or it's with a honing steel.
It's honing, though.
You gotta get rid of the burr.
That is bringing it back to.
But it sharpens it.
It brings it back to its already sharpened. Like, there's a difference there. You guys are both right. There is sharpening and making a blade, and that would be the iron sharpens iron idea. Steel sharpening steel is not. You are honing it. You are bringing it back.
That is not the phrase. Steel sharpening steel is not the phrase. Iron sharpens iron. That is where that is the original phrase. I screwed it up. Let's not try and nitpick whether steel actually can sharpen steel or not, because you're not going to convince me I'm wrong on this. I have a steel honing rod. I use it sharpen.
We're talking about vocabulary. You are bringing back its sharpness. You are not sharpening it. It's a slight difference. Because the first word it says is smooth. Refined.
I'm not changing my mind, Jim. So you can go ahead and keep trying to read this out.
I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm just giving you the facts. You can live in your own world. We're allowed to do that now.
Hey, we know I live in my own world, so let's just leave it at that. And
look,
move
we live in a world where facts don't really matter anymore, so like, just believe what you want.
I'm not facts coming from you. Basically, if Molly brought it up, which she did, and she said sharpens... I buy that.
No,
Jim
okay.
Facts.
So, perfect.
You just correct my facts too much where I'm just like,
you just described everything. Molly said what I liked, so I'm going to go with Molly. That's your answer. That's fine.
100%.
That's the world we live in.
That's what I just
said. Just someone says what I like, then I'm just going to go with it.
Thank you.
Facts be darned.
I know. Exactly.
Right, yes.
Thank you.
All right.
Now move forward.
844-770-3776. Well, which is an idiot guy says you're all idiots.
Yeah, thank you.
It's blind leading the blind. I do not want to be a part of that. I'm just giving you the words here. All right. Josh in Brownsville chimed in. Never listened to your show before. My prior knowledge is it can be summed up. Bears fan, curling, chick from Ridiculousness.
Not I'll
quite.
Take it.
I don't know what Ridiculousness is.
It's that show that's only on MTV. Like, yeah. That's literally MTV's entire daily lineup.
It's their
lineup.
Version of Impractical Jokers.
Actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, I'm kind of offended.
I don't want to be mean, but I think Molly's a lot brighter than Chanel West Coast.
Yes.
That's her name, Chanel West Coast.
Chanel West Coast.
Should I just be her for the rest of the day?
What? No, because I don't know what you're doing at all.
Is I can't handle the laugh.
Yep.
Don't.
844-770-3776. That's the Carbo's Talking text line. Liz is more. Do you feel better or the same about the Badgers after the victory? You're definitely not going to feel worse, but do you feel better or feel the same? I feel the same. They look like a team that came in, and I'm worried a little bit about BYU in this aspect of it. Not because of the home crowd, because it's not as close as you think, but they are a team that's used to playing in that elevation. And I know we got to get to Willie, but I want Matt to touch on his elevation because you've participated in sports out that way. Maybe not quite to the athletic conditioning needed for basketball, but still, I'm sure you notice a difference.
Yeah.
But then the Badgers, and you're a big believer in this, I think it's, what, is this going to be 6 games in 9 days for Wisconsin? And because they made the run all the way to the end, so they played, because they didn't, again, don't feel bad for them, beat Penn State, and this isn't a problem. But you lost to Penn State, which means you had to play 4 games. And then you had to play, obviously, then you just played yesterday. Matt, just give me a percentage, because we got to get the break to get to Wildy. Just give me a percentage. How much do you think elevation and tiredness will affect like the Badgers play? Like 0 to 100%.
Right. Probably like 20.
All right.
It's pretty big. It's pretty significant.
We'll get more into that as the show goes along. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, the takeover of Wildy and Tausch.
This is the Jim, Matt, and Molly takeover of Wildy and Tausch.
Should I be upset that Chewy has no idea who I am?
My concern is Mark Tauscher is the only teammate who's a former Packer who knows who Matt Hamilton is. Mark Schmerkley does know who Matt Hamilton is.
On ESPN Wisconsin and Wisconsin On Demand.
Jason, quick
you
question.
You are one of one.
3-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
I say that so helplessly, but like, I feel like
it. Desperate sound in your voice.
Yeah. I am.
Jason Wildy is on Jim, Matt, and Molly's takeover of Wildy and Tausch. What's up with that? What's up with
that? Jim, Matt, and Molly. The takeover of Wildy and Tausch continues across ESPN Wisconsin. I am Jim Rutledge. You can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube. We have changed clothes again thanks to our good friends at Badger Volleyball. They gave us some gear to wear, and we have one more outfit change coming up here. Molly Brown, Jim Rutledge, Matt Hamilton with you. Primetime Laura Shine Behind the Glass also participating because they hooked up us as well. Hooked us up, all of us up as well. And we have someone chiming in on the YouTube. Say, wear some Marquette gear. Marquette has arguably the best fit, the best uniform in the state. I love
best colors.
It's great colors. It's Jordan brand. Hook me up with some Marquette gear, and I'm in. I will happily wear it. I like Marquette. All the way back to the days of Dwayne Wade. I didn't like him as much when Buzz and Woj coached him, but now that Shaq is coaching him, he's from my town, Oregon, Wisconsin. Shaq is easy to root for, so like, go Marquette for sure. But we're bringing on Jason Wildy right now, and we'll talk some Packers with him. But Jason, obviously the burning question today is, you know, how's your bracket?
I'm here under protest.
Oh, what's wrong? I thought you volunteered to join us.
No, well, I did. And then I saw a bunch of Wisconsin volleyball gear. And then adding insult to the injury to my jealousy, you changed into more volleyball gear during the commercial break.
We have one more change to go.
Yeah, we're not done yet.
I mean, look, I'm not saying that I feel left out. I had to run upstairs and get Badger gear so I could at least somewhat fit in. Only one of us has a volleyball player who went to the camps last year and has already signed up for this year's camps. I'm looking at you, Kelly Sheffield.
I would like to add this. Does it make you feel better or worse that Evan Cohen has also been mailed a box?
So here, in fairness to Evan, he has a much larger platform than me. And look, I'm not John Arias, right? I am not essential to their program, but I'm more connected to their program than you three knuckleheads.
Oh, I don't know. We're pretty connected, and we got the coach's show. I know Coach Sheffield well. I help fund some of the things that are going on with
We've
that.
We've been to North and South.
You should see the smile that Sheffield's face lights up every time he sees me.
And just when he, lights up. He's at North and South Seaford Smokehouse
as
well.
Maybe, but I'm also I assume it's for me.
Yes.
Naturally. All right.
Honestly, Jason, the hoodie that Molly's wearing screams Jason Wilde.
Is there a hood?
Yeah.
It's got
Bill Belichick. It's got like the cutoff sleeves, but it's like a light hoodie. I think it'd be perfect
for
you.
Is this supposed to be helping?
No. I just want you to know. You could probably go to like the Wisconsin apparel site and get yourself one.
Okay. Go ahead and buy one. Thank you. Yes.
You like it? You buy it.
No. In all seriousness, happy to be here. I am jealous. I'm not lying about being jealous, but it is a fantastic program. You guys know how much we love that program and how much Sydney loves that program. She still thinks Sarah Franklin is her BFF, and I'm so happy that we have them on our airwaves. And having John join our team has been amazing, too. I know he's part of the rotation of many, many, many cousin subs that we need to fill in for all the days that Tausch misses. So I appreciate you guys handling those duties today. But, I could never be mad at Badger Volleyball. But I am jealous of you guys.
We'll see what we can do. We can maybe they'll connect us.
Well, you guys are better connected than me, so I should rely on you. Yes.
Apparently. Apparently we are. So as we continue to change outfits for the next 2 hours with all the free gear we got. Jason, Packers football here. And I was listening to a podcast about a different team, but they're referencing like, hey, if they draft a running back here, it'll be an indication of maybe what they think about their quarterback. Because if you looked at like Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, and Justin Herbert, those guys and Pat Mahomes, they did not have top 10 running backs last year. Jordan Love, Jared Goff, Brock Purdy, Jalen Hurts, Matthew Stafford, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold all did. Lamar's the outlier, but I think that's more just, you know, adding fuel to the fire of like, hey, we have two great runners, it'll make it even more impossible. So my question is, are the Packers giving a little indication of where they think Jordan Love is right now as a quarterback, where they are saying we need to be a team that is run first and then work off of the run, as opposed to a team that has Joe Burrow or Allen or Mahomes or even Herbert, where it's like, hey, we'll use the pass as much as we need to, and then the run will work in. Everyone wants to run the football, but I do think it could be a tell with the team building for the Packers of building this offensive line and building this run game, saying that Jordan Love's good, but he's not elite, so we need to focus on the run game, and we're going to continue to put assets into making sure that run game's great.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what their offense looks like. Now, I would add, you mentioned Justin Herbert, and didn't Harbaugh just go out and get Najee Harris from Pittsburgh?
Yeah, but he wasn't a top 10 runner last year at Pittsburgh. Like, he's about 4 yards per carry guy.
No, I understand that, but I think Jim Harbaugh wants to have that kind of an offensive approach too, right? And I think it's not necessarily a slight on Justin Herbert, because we know he can sling it, but he has not won a lot. He's in the same draft class as Jordan Love. Obviously, he played pretty much right away as opposed to Jordan Love. But look, I think the Packers offense will look different this year. I gotta figure out where I'm supposed to stand now that Wooly changed the angle. There we go. I'm in the middle now. So here, a couple things. I mean, one, I think it's a function of where Love is in his development. I still would argue that this is an enormous year for him to show that he can make the significant leap from, yeah, he's a pretty good quarterback, to, okay, this guy's top 10. This guy's on the doorstep of elite. But I do think their offensive philosophy is going to be to lean on Josh Jacobs. They do like Emmanuel Wilson a lot. They are really excited about Marshawn Lloyd. Love called him a little rocket in the backfield. But he had a completely wasted season, right? It was basically a medical redshirt. So I don't know if they will invest highly in a running back during the draft. I tend to doubt it because they like all three of those guys, and I think they still believe that when it comes to the run game, obviously Josh Jacobs was worth the investment, but you're not going to super invest like, say, the Lions, right, with both Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. So my point is that I think there's a couple of reasons why they would approach this offensively this way. One is where Love is. Two is where their wide receiver group is and how hard it was to find someone to add to that group this offseason. The free agent class was mid. I'm trying to sound like Matt Hamilton now. He uses those cool terms like that.
No cap.
Which is a little sus. And the draft class is not outstanding either. I mean, there's been really good draft classes at that wide receiver position the last several years. This year, again, according to people who know more about this draft than I do, it's not nearly as deep and not nearly as good at the top either. So my point is I think they're going to be a run first and then tight end second offense. And they're going to lean on Tucker Kraft. They're going to hope that Luke Musgrave can stay healthy and be productive. We like Ben Sims on our show. Tausch likes to call him Chipotle Ben because I bumped into him at a Chipotle, and he thinks that I was creepy by saying hello to him. So I think they like what they can do offensively. I bet Matt LaFleur right now is up in his office, and he's conjuring up different aspects to this offense to get the ball to Tucker Kraft more. But that doesn't mean that they can't, that they have to take that approach offensively and not get the ball to their receivers, right? I mean, that is still going to be a component. And so Love does have to play better. And Jaden Reed and Dontavian Wicks can't drop 19 combined passes. I still find the stat incredible that each of them individually dropped more passes last season than the Super Bowl 59 champion Philadelphia Eagles dropped as a team all year, with seven. So there's a lot of moving parts on this offense, but I do think that they will continue to be run first, and the biggest challenge is to figure out a way to have a better play-action game off of the style of run game that Josh Jacobs prefers.
Jason, I know that you and I had similar opinions about Aaron Rodgers potentially becoming a Minnesota Vikings. I'm curious if you're still holding out hope for him to go to Minnesota. And
hope?
Yeah, there's still hope because
there's
to
a
me,
great story there, Matt.
Because to me, it feels like the Vikings are saying it's not a never, but it's just not a right now. That's how it feels to me, and I'm just curious where you kind of land with that whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Sorry, Matt. It would be so incredible.
Yes,
I mean, it just would be. And I think it's been very interesting to kind of read between the lines and kind of the nuanced nature of the Vikings no, right? Like, we're not interested right now kind of vibe. I think, and the fact that on the corresponding side of it, you know, that Rodgers keeps it through back channels or however he's doing it, FaceTime, certainly not regular phone calls to Malibu, that he's basically saying, I haven't changed my timeline. I'm going to take my time on this. And he's leaving the retirement club in his bag as well. Because I don't know. I've never been, you know, Paula notwithstanding, I've never really been in demand. But he's basically got three suitors, right? He's got the Giants, who he's kind of put in the friend zone. He's got the Steelers, who I kind of feel like, he kind of sees them as, yeah, I could date him, but I wouldn't feel really great about it. And then he's got the Vikings, and he's looking at Kevin O'Connell and what he did with Sam Darnold, and he's looking at the weaponry he would have. And I think that's the one that he really wants to, you know, end up with. The problem is they drafted a guy in the with the 10th overall pick, and they need to figure out if he's healthy enough to play and if he's good enough to play. And Aaron Rodgers could be left out in the cold. Like, if J.J. McCarthy has a great offseason program and they are uber excited about him and encouraged by what they see from him, both physically and in terms of his execution of the offense, then Aaron Rodgers, does he go back to Pittsburgh then at some point and say, hey, so it didn't work out with that other gal, but now I'm super interested in playing for you, Mike Tomlin. Like, it's, I find this fascinating. We try to avoid it on our show because people get very irritated when we spend too much time on Aaron Rodgers. They have the face that Matt Hamilton has right now. Well, now he's smiling, so it doesn't count. But he kind of had a pouty face. So we try not to talk about him a whole lot. But I, behind the scenes, I want him to be a Minnesota Viking.
Mm-hmm. You and me both.
We talk about him all the time because it's fascinating. If he ends up in Minnesota, like, the storylines. I love the fact that Aaron Rodgers is basically being told, like, your personality is writing checks that your play can't cash anymore, because I think mm-hmm. that's part of the equation here. So he's reaping what he sows. Mm-hmm. Smart players, better leaders, better people with self-awareness would understand, like, hey, I got to tone it down a little bit. After the Jets told me to tone it down a little bit, if I want to play somewhere good, I got to tone it down. Now, if I want to play and do whatever I want and be whoever I want, then I go play for the Giants. So I'm loving the whole drama.
So has he toned it down? Like, has he been on McAfee lately? Like, has he been on any, like, out there podcasts that are not part of my rotation?
Probably. I don't know.
I have no idea.
He might be up for a position in the Health and Human Services, for all I know.
I think he's still wandering on the beach, actually.
With his corded headphones.
Yeah, exactly.
No AirPods for that guy.
And his blanket.
Causes cancer.
Yeah. You don't want the 5G getting in. Jason, I have another football question that matters.
Aaron Rodgers matters hugely, because if he plays in the division, Matt Hamilton, that is a massive impact on the Packers.
You're right about that. I'm not rooting for him because it makes greater competition for the Packers. I'm rooting for it because it's fascinating. But Matt, please rescue us.
Well, I'm just curious. I saw the Mecole Hardman edition. Kind of feels like a nothing burger to me. Where does he slot in? Because he hasn't done anything of statistical significance since 2021.
Yeah, that's all no lies detected, right?
Yeah.
At the same time, he's really fast. He's costing them next to nothing, right? I mean, look, if you guys haven't figured out the game yet, and I saw Mike Florio wrote a little bit about the insider culture with Rap Sheets and Schefter and the Starbucks guy and the whole crew there. And it is an information exchange that I don't play, and I'm glad I don't have to play. I'm thankful for that. But there's a couple of interesting little tidbits that come from the way they do this, right? When they say a contract is worth up to... That means that the number that it's actually worth isn't that impressive and the agent doesn't feel great about it. And when the contract has no dollar sign information whatsoever when the news breaks, like with the news of Mecole Hardman, he got a one-year deal. No financial details at all. So that tells you that he is getting paid popcorn money or peanut money or very small money. So to me, this is exactly the kind of thing that Goody needed to do here, because he didn't go after Davante Adams. He had no interest, apparently, in Cooper Kupp, because they all celebrated their 30th birthdays. He wasn't going to give up a draft pick for DK Metcalf. So this made sense, because it's that low risk. He's the Keyshawn Nixon. He's the Devondre Campbell. He's the Rasul Douglas of this offseason, right? Which is, hey, this guy's going to cost me next to nothing, and if he turns out to be worthwhile, that's a big win. Like,
then we can trade him midseason.
Or Matt, if he stinks in training camp, they can release him.
Yep. Yeah.
So there's no real risk here, but he is fast. He could be a jet sweep guy. He is a guy that can catch a 10-yard pass and turn it into a 60-yard gain. And he's a guy who can return.
In a three wide receiver set, is he start or is he on the field, or do you think it's the other three guys on our team?
No, I think it's Dobbs, it's Reed, and it's Wicks. But if you go four wides and you want to run go routes, he's going to run one. Now, he's not a great downfield pass catcher. He's more of a, like that touchdown that that Watson had in Philly when Love went in for Rodgers when he was hurt in 22, where he caught it. It was like an 8-yard pass across the middle, and then he ran the rest of the way.
Right.
That's the kind of Mecole Hardman stuff that you're going to get. But let's not diss this guy. He was a second-round pick. He played at Georgia, and he caught the game-winning touchdown in a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not nothing, right?
It's true.
They didn't sign, you know, Bill Schrader. thank God, because he hates my guts, and I don't like him either. So that would have made
I'm fine with the shot at it. We fully allow it.
Okay.
So the point is that, Matt, yeah, it's not exciting. You're right. It's not. But it's not risky either.
Yeah.
So Jason, are the Packers really just going to roll into the season with Hobbs and Nixon and Valentine at corner? Because I'm guessing Alexander's going to get, they're going to move him. Like, is this the plan? Like, I don't like the plan if I'm a Packer fan. You got two nickelbacks in Hobbs and Nixon. And then you got Valentine, who's, I mean, maybe he's an ascending player. Like, you can have hope in him, but otherwise, like...
And we still have Ballantyne, too?
Nope.
No, he's gone. He went to Indianapolis.
That's right.
So, I mean, not that's not a backbreaker.
Needle mover for me.
You just can't say the law firm of Valentine and Ballantyne. It's the only needle that was moved there.
That is sad for me.
Yeah. But, like, this seems like a lot of faith in moving guys around, which I don't love at any position in football. You know, just, hey, you were a nickel, now you're going to be an outside corner. Great. Because Hobbs has spent most of his time in nickel, and same with Nixon. And I don't know. I feel like the Packers need more.
Someday, somehow, they'll have enough nickelbacks to have the band, the Nickelback band. In there. Well, by the way, I still feel like those guys get a bad rap.
They do.
Am I wrong in that position?
No. Photograph, great song.
They're horrible. I am in the. They
Jim,
are.
Jim hates everything today, though. So that's
no. Here's been a little bit of that.
Here's their overall rap, though, is that they don't really write or arrange their music. It's paint by numbers. So they kind of just assembled a. It's like a boy band for rock, and like that is against what rock music is, and that's the knock against them.
Okay, so
it's not saying you can't enjoy the song, but like it's also not good music.
You opened a can of worms, Jason.
He's the one who said they had two Nickelbacks, and my mind that's where it went.
Like, this is the household. My wife loves Nickelback, and she gets so mad at me and calls me so pretentious anytime I even reference. Because apparently, when I say it, there's a stink on it. So
I was gonna go douchey instead of pretentious, but both are fair.
That's the word my wife uses, so it works out great.
To her point and to your point, I would say this. I don't think that they will go into the season that way. I think they'll draft the corner either in the first round or on day two and expect them to play right away. They may pick multiple ones. You know, again, Rasul Douglas is a free agent. He hasn't gotten much action, it appears. But he's 29. And he's going to turn 30 during the season. They traded him once already. It does not appear that Goody's interested in reunions, right?
Right.
It doesn't look like they were. Like, MVS, who I think is a one-trick pony, but he's got some Super Bowl rings and he's been around a lot, could have filled the void of Christian Watson temporarily until Watson's back, or maybe all season if Watson doesn't get healthy enough to run as fast as he did before the ACL right away. Doesn't look like they had any interest in MVS either. So Goody, not interested in reunions, it would appear. But you're right. As wrong as you are about Nickelback, you're right about their secondary. They need more pieces, and they don't have enough of them, especially if they move on from Jair Alexander, which we're all expecting.
Last quick thing. I know Ryan said we had to go to break, but one of the things
that would frustrate me,
my understanding, there's no clock really on this show. But anyways, with the...
That's very fair.
One of the things that I would be frustrated with as a Packer fan is that Goody... His conviction seems to be like, we're just going to wait to who comes to us, or we just want more picks. Like, in the draft, his conviction is more of like, more is better, because I don't trust... I mean, I could look at it and say, I don't trust my ability to scout, and so I'm just going to take as many bites of the apple as I can, as opposed to, there are some upper echelon corners, and if you need a starting corner and you need to replace Jair Alexander, you have the draft capital, and you might get more with Jair, wouldn't you say, like, let's just go up and, like, if there's a guy we think, like, this guy can come in and start immediately at a position of need, let's go get him.
Dog.
I feel like there's no chance the Packers would do that. I would be blown away. Is that fair to say that the Packers trading up significantly to go get a premier corner, someone who's viewed as an elite prospect in this draft, does that just seem impossible, fantasy land?
Yeah, I do think it's fantasy land because I think the cost that it is to go up into, say, the top 10 or the top 5, I just don't think he thinks that juice is worth the squeeze. Now, he has traded up, right? He had that great draft in 18 in the first round. He ended up with Jair, who, for whatever he's become, is a two-time All-Pro.
Great pick.
Mm-hmm. So, but what he did was, he was, I think he started at 14, gave up 14, and got the Saints' first-round pick that year and the following year, right?
Yeah.
And then he goes, he takes that, his own, the Saints pick that year. Then he trades up back to 18 to go get Jair. So he did do that. He obviously went up to get Jordan Love in 20, although someday someone is going to tell me the truth as to whether or not he was going up for Brandon Ayuk, and then the 49ers moved in front of him and took Ayuk. But the fact of the matter is he's not going to go in the top 10. As far as the swings thing, look, if this is going to be your philosophy about your team, you're not going to sign free agents unless there are guys like last year who you can't believe they're on the market, right? I mean, that's why Goody dove in on both those guys. He couldn't believe they're both available. And they shouldn't have been, frankly, as the Raiders have now gone out and gotten a new running back, and the Giants went out and got Miami's safety because they know they screwed up. So my point is that I think if you're going to take this philosophy, you need those swings. You need to be able to have that seventh-round swing to get Carrington Valentine, who could join the Mark Tauscher, Donald Driver pantheon of great seventh-round picks. Now, he's got a long way to go before he does that, but that's why the swings matter. So, yeah, I expect him. He's at 8 picks now with the compensatory pick. I expect him to move back a couple of times during this draft so he can get to double-digit picks. And in fairness to him, his 22 and 23 drafts and the early returns on the 24 draft would indicate that they're scouting pretty well. The 2020 and 2021 drafts would indicate not so good.
Jason, awesome stuff. Thanks for joining us on your day off.
No, thanks for filling in for us, guys. We really appreciate it, and Jesse appreciates it more because I was actually planning on doing the show today, but Tausch is out, and Jesse wants to get geared up for all the games he's going to call, so he decided we weren't going to do the show today, and he's the boss.
Oh, did you not know that he took a field trip to Dubuque to go gamble? Oh,
there we go.
Did I just rat out?
Jesse. He called a game yesterday.
I thought he had such a busy day today that he.
No, yesterday. Sure.
Okay, well, whatever the case may be.
I like it.
Jesse works very hard, and Paula has a list a mile long of things she wants me to get done today. So what matters most is that you guys stepped into the breach. I appreciate that a ton. And Kelly Sheffield, I'm not really mad at you. I'm just jealous of these guys.
All right. We look forward to hearing you bury Jesse on Monday. Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
All right. That's Jason Wilde on his own show, Wilde and Tausch. This is Jim Matt Maui, the takeover.
Welcome to the 2025 NFL Draft on ESPN Radio.
The NFL Draft is now underway.
Live from historic Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
With the first pick.
Thursday, April 24th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
This is how you remind me of what I really am. This is how you remind me of what I really am. It's not like you to say sorry. I was waiting on a different story. And this time I'm mistaken for letting you a heart worth breaking. And I've been wrong. I've been down into the bottom of every bottle. Please stop worrying.
Jim, Matt, Molly, the takeover of Wilde and Tausch. I'm doing this one while I'm getting my picture taken. Brand new. As Pablo Iglesias is in the Everlight Solar Studio with us, is our last outfit change has arrived. Matt Hamilton, we all know he's got a big head, and now he's got a big hat to match the big head. You can see that on the ESPN Madison YouTube page, or YouTube stream.
It's tough to find hats that fit.
Yeah. Well,
finally did it.
There you go. Matt Hamilton loves attention, and he is wearing a hat that brings him a lot of attention. He's basically a bobblehead now. Molly Brown with me in the Everlight Solar Studio. This is the Jim, Matt, and Molly takeover of Wildy and Tausch. In classic Wildy and Tausch fashion, we have blown through the clock here. So we'll kind of reset what we're going to get into a little bit later. We had Jason Wildy. You can listen back, Wisconsin on Demand, Apple, Spotify, any of those great places. We have trivia coming up. We have Ari Temkin coming up from Big 12 Radio on the TuneIn Radio Network. He's going to tell us a little bit about BYU, who the Badgers got coming up next. We did have a poll question out there. You can chime in on it again. Do you feel better or worse or the same about the Badgers after their win over Montana? Probably take out the worst. But and then we'll get to some Marquette. I do like Marquette. I was just talking to a Marquette fan here in the office, Marissa, and we share the same concern, is that I actually, going into the tournament, before the bracket was set, I liked Marquette. I liked their chances, but then you look at it and you go, all right, I think they can beat New Mexico.
But then take on Michigan State.
Yeah, and that one's tough. Now, the saving grace is Wisconsin beat Michigan State, and kind of actually think Marquette's better than Wisconsin. They did beat Wisconsin, so you could sell yourself on that, but I think you just caught Michigan State. Big Ten play, you play a team twice. The Badgers were basically that walking flame guy on that court that day, so the complete opposite of the first time they played. So I think Marquette's got a puncher's chance against Michigan State as long as they get by New Mexico, but we'll get into all of that, and I want to get back to my thoughts on the Packers, where I've had this theory for a while, and I think the Packers are – I think they need to team build around this theory that Jordan Love is peers with Jared Goff, and I don't think he's quite there yet. Brock Purdy, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield right now. Those are his peers, Darnold, Mayfield, and Purdy, not even Jared Goff, not Herbert, not even Jaden Daniels, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes. Those are not his peers. His peers are the group that I just listed there, Baker, Sam Darnold, and Jordan Love, and Brock Purdy. He can climb up, but I think the Packers would be better to build their roster around that setup. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.